Hey, Murderheads. I'm Nikki, one of your hosts.
And it's Taylor, your other host.
And together, we are Murder, She Taped.
Hey, Murderheads.
Hi, Murderheads. So, I was watching on Netflix, Highwaymen.
Okay, what's it about?
Okay, it's about the Bonnie and Clyde murders. Okay, but like every one that you watch for Bonnie and Clyde is like their side of the story and how like they're so in love and they're so badass and everyone just like fucking loves Bonnie and Clyde. This is from like the cop's point of view that was hired on to find them. So there's only like very little about actual Bonnie and Clyde, like what their story is.
Yeah.
And it's the story from the cops, like, going to capture them, like, their families, how they felt. It is so good.
Really?
I was talking to Felix, my sister's boyfriend, about it, and he was like, we were laughing, because he's like, it has the most fucking blockbuster, like, preview you've ever seen in your entire life, where it's like, there's just guns going, and it's just, like, the most intense thing. And so he was like, I didn't know, like, if I was gonna like it, and he watched it, and he loved it, and I freaking loved it.
I need to watch that.
Mm-hmm. And they have, like, a whole bunch of comedies now. Like, I don't know. Maybe I just didn't notice before, but they were over for Easter, and they were showing me all these, like, comedy ones where it's, like, stand-up comedy.
Yeah, they do have a lot of that going on.
Oh, I love it.
My brother listens to a funny British guy who's so sarcastic, but his humor is so, like, raunchy. But it was fucking funny sitting there watching it with my brother.
Which one's that one?
I don't know his name, but he...
Does he have red hair?
No, he's brunette, I think. And he has, like, facial hair.
Oh.
Yeah, he's fucking funny. When I know the name, I'll let you know.
Okay, yeah. I was watching the Amy Schumer one yesterday as well. I like Amy Schumer. I do. She's pregnant in this one.
Is she?
Yeah, and it's super funny. And she talks about her husband, how he's, like, on the spectrum for autism. Which is kind of cool. Yeah, so she talked about that. And, like, she's, like, so funny. But then she also says things that, like, make you go, like, oh, my God. So she was talking about how, like, women in general, how, like, we have a fear of, like, walking home in the dark or, like, doing that kind of stuff. And, like, how when you're, like, growing up, boys were, like, taught as, like, females that if a boy is mean to you in school, it's because they like you. So we grow up with this sense that if they're meaner to you, then they really like you.
So true,
though. And it just made me be like, oh, my God. Like, just, it, like, mind fucked me. And I'm going to talk to my therapist about it tomorrow. Because it's so accurate.
Did you watch the Ellen one?
No, I haven't. Okay,
you need to. But I love Ellen.
Like, I love Ellen. She's so funny.
I can't believe you haven't watched her stand-up. But she talks about how her ex-girlfriend, it got serious for a moment in her script. And she talked about how she was driving on the road and her girlfriend had gone to work or something. And she passed this really bad car accident. Mm-hmm. Didn't think anything of it. Turns out her girlfriend had actually passed away in that car accident. She passed her girlfriend's car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and had no idea. And she talks about how, like, much grief that she went through and how much depression she went through.
Yeah.
And about overcoming it and understanding, like, she was like, I understand. Like, why would God do that?
Mm-hmm.
If you're spiritual or religious or whatever. Yeah. And, yeah, I just found it, like, hers is really good. You need to watch it.
I like when... like comedians, like, they're funny and then they actually, like, go into shit that they've dealt with
and there's, like, a lesson in it.
Yeah, and it's like, holy shit, those are my favorite ones.
Yeah, I like, don't get me wrong, I'm all for, like, I loved listening to Dane Cook. There was the one he talked about, the beanie.
Yeah,
he's going on a beanie and I fucking kill myself laughing every time he talks about his friend who was like, oh, dude, like, oh, there's a car. And Dane was like, well, yeah, it's a fucking road, you idiot. Yeah, there's a fucking car. If you see a whale, let me know, okay? Like, just, he's so funny. But I do love having the lessons mixed in, too.
I find, like, with the new comedy, though, like, the new stand-up, they're starting to get more into that. Because I think they're starting to realize that people relate a lot better if they show some side of,
like, humanism.
Yeah, like, that they actually have emotions and are not just dicks all the time.
Making fun of people.
Yeah. I would love to do, like, go somewhere and, like, just learn how to do, like, comedy. So you can go to, like, stand up and just learn it.
I'm not funny enough.
What?
What? No, because I would be up there and I would try to say coquitlam and It would just all go down there. Downhill from there.
I screwed up. It was, she was saying it right.
How many times we've gone over this? We went over this on live.
We went over it on live. I don't think we've went over it since then. Okay, so if you guys didn't watch our live, we did go over it on live.
Qualicum is like the Qualicum, what was it? Qualicum Lake?
Qualicum Beach. And it's on Vancouver Island, and it's the most beautiful place you will ever go in your entire life.
But totally different than Coquitlam, which is where Clifford Olson primarily was around.
That is actually right around Vancouver. Which, I mean, it's confusing. I'm not dumb. It was just confusing.
I mean, I gave you the look of, I know I'm fucking this word up, and you were like, yeah,
so you're fucking it up. So I jumped in. So you, yeah, you were like, you looked at me like, I don't know what I'm saying. So I was like, I'll jump in. I'll do one for the team. I know where one place is.
We were just in the wrong place.
You're in the wrong place. Close, but just no cigar.
I've never heard, no cigar?
Yeah.
I've never heard that expression.
Close, but no cigar.
Close, but no cigar.
You're a smoker. You should hear it.
I don't smoke.
I don't even do it. Cody doesn't listen. Oh, that's so funny.
I don't smoke.
Okay. Well, on that note, you liar. Well, I'm going to talk about the country boy murder, Cody Allen Lejbakoff. Way screwed up the last name, I think.
This is a fuck up every time.
I think it's right. Okay, so Cody Allen Lejbakoff, also known as the Country Boy Murderer. So Cody is one of the youngest serial killers in Canada. So he murdered 4 BC women within a span of a little over a year. And he was like 19, I think.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's a sad one.
4 in a span of a year as a 19-year-old.
It's like a year and a bit. It's around there. And yeah, he's like 19, 20. Okay. First off, shout out to the Canadian True Crime Podcast. Chrissy, she did a great job on sharing this case, and I listened to it, and I was actually inspired to research it myself, so just a shout out there. So I was kind of thinking, like, where to start with this case, because you have to kind of start from the last murder and work your way backwards, okay? So as you already know, I don't love talking about much about the murderer. However, I think knowing a bit about them is important to really understand the story and the crimes. So Cody was born in January 1990 in Fort St. James, rural BC. He has been described by friends and family as a popular guy who played hockey and showed little to no violence. After graduating, Cody moved to Prince George, where he shared an apartment with 3 close female friends and worked at the Ford dealership.
Oh, car salesman.
But interesting fact that he lived with 3 women of friends, and they all felt safe with him. They never had any issues with him. Like, they wanted him around.
You never trust car salesmen. You just don't.
There was one time, my sister, if she listens, she's gonna fucking die or stop laughing. There was one time I think we were driving somewhere, and I had said, well, everyone knows this about used car salesmen. They're all drug dealers because they know how to sell what they have. Fact. And I feel like it was just common knowledge, and I think I even used those words, common knowledge. It's common knowledge to know.
I didn't know that.
Well, it's common knowledge, now you know it.
So, my first ever experience going to a car dealership, I walked in, I was with Julie. And Dave. And we walked in, and I'm like, I want to test drive the Nissan Rogue. I don't want numbers. I just want to see if I like it. So the guy was like, okay, kind of bugged me a little bit for my phone number and stuff. I was like, no, fuck, I hate the story. I was like, no, I'm not giving you my phone number. It's fine. I'll call you, right? So he's like, okay. So he sets me up. He's talking to his fucking manager for a quote. Boy doesn't know how to calculate like 5%. Like, he's a fucking moron. No, not aw. He's a skeez. Oh, no. So I got in the Nissan Rogue, test drove it, liked it. Went back. I said, can I have your business card? I'm going to contact you in the next couple of months here. Mm-hmm. And I want to, like, salute something. Salute? I want to harp down on something, or commit to something would be a better word.
Okay.
So tired. So we go in and I get a call the next day from my dad because they had accessed their records, searched up my last name because I wrote my name down, searched up my last name on the license copy that I had given them, looked through the system, found somebody with the same last name, called them, and tried to get my number. I was fucking pissed. And my mom brought up such a good point. She was like, what if this, like, what if you and, he was my uncle, what if you and your uncle, like, what if your uncle was psycho and abusive and had no idea you were in the city, and they just gave pretty much a hint that I was? It was traumatizing. I called him, and I've never gotten so mad on the phone. I was, like, on the phone, and he was like, oh, yeah, that was my manager. I don't smoke.
Jesus.
And, yeah, I was like, I swear to God, patch me through to your manager then. I will talk to him. He's like, oh, no, he's in a meeting. I was like, patch me through to your fucking manager, or I will come in person.
I show up.
And it will be so much worse. And he was like, okay, one second, please. Like, fucking just patched me over. And his supervisor was like, well, you didn't leave your number. Like, what if you'd stolen the car? You had a copy of my license, you fucking moron. Like, car salesmen are idiots.
They are.
And a rat. Move on.
Anyway, so he's a car salesman.
Fucking red flag.
Okay, so Cody was pulled over due to a traffic violation on November 27, 2010. He had been speeding out of a remote logging road near Vanderhoof, BC. The officer that pulled him over noticed that Cody's clothing was stained with blood, and he instantly had a bad feeling. When asked, Cody claimed he had been poaching a deer, and that is where the blood came from. This didn't sit well with the officers, and they knew that they needed to look more into Cody. However, with the poaching mentioned, it meant that the officers could at least detain him for that alone. The officers decided to search the pickup to see if they could find any more evidence as to where the blood came from, or at least confirm his story of poaching. While searching Cody's pickup truck, the officers found a few crack pipes, a few cases of alcohol, one being chocolate mudslides, a bloody wrench, and the ID of Lauren Leslie. The officers instantly knew they had to take a deeper dive into this ID.
Mudslides, eh?
Yeah, I love a good mudslide. Like one when you're just getting started.
But it's not a masculine drink.
Yeah, but that's why they're like crack pipes and mudslides. Who are you?
And an ID.
Who are you, sir? So the officers were suspicious, but Cody had answers for everything they asked. He was polite, respectful, and willing to answer all the questions. While a couple of officers continued to ask Cody questions and get his what? Let's try that again. While a couple of officers continued to ask Cody questions and get his story straight, a few others were running the search on the ID they had found in Cody's truck. The search came up with a missing person case of Lauren Leslie. The officers then realized that they needed to go back and look at the abandoned logging road that they originally seen Cody speeding out of. The officers went back to that spot and found the beaten body of Lauren Leslie. Her face was beaten beyond recognition, and her pants were found pulled down around her ankles. Sad. So who was Lauren Leslie? Lauren Leslie was a grade 10 student whose parents were divorced. 10? She was really young. She lived full-time with her mom and had a room at her dad's house and went back and forth between the two. So she had really good relationships with both parents. She was described as a tall girl with brown eyes and long blonde wavy hair. Leslie was born with a genetic disorder that left her legally blind with 50% vision in one eye and none in the other. Although she had this disability, she never allowed it to get in her way. She was described by people who knew her as sensitive, caring, and full of life. She enjoyed summer activities, and although she was diagnosed with depression, she lived her life to the absolute fullest. I know.
Stop it.
I know. This one hit home for me because of her, like, the side of that victim.
Well, and she's so young.
And she's, like, not doing anything wrong. She's just, like, trying to make friends. Like, it's just really sad. So as for the day of the murder, she spent most of the morning with her mom. She told her mom that she was going to meet a friend for coffee that evening and knew that she had to be home by 1 a.m. Lauren never had plans to go for coffee with a friend, and said she had plans to meet up with Cody. Lauren and Cody had been talking for a couple of weeks on Nexopia. Nexopia?
Nexopia.
Nexopia.
Nexopia. You're saying Nexopia.
Yeah, so I say it.
Nexopia.
You weren't even in the realm of Nexopia.
Stop saying it like you're Nexopia. It's not encyclopedia. It's Nexopia.
But
you weren't even around then.
You weren't even bored yet. So Lauren was on this site to meet new people and make friends. However, through all the messages between the two, Cody usually turned the conversation sexual. Shocking, because men fucking do that nowadays too. So Leslie, however, always avoided the sexual comments and questions by changing the subject or avoiding them altogether. Like, she was a good girl. She never, like, got dragged into that. She just... But then I think she was also kind of intrigued by Cody.
Totally was.
Right?
Yeah.
But he also looked like a country boy. Like, he played hockey, had long, like, long kind of wave. He looked like your boyfriend, but tall.
Oh,
and a smaller nose.
Oh.
And his name's Cody.
Oh my god, stop.
Oh my god.
We're breaking up.
He just cut off his ankles and that's it. And that's how he got shorter. Your boyfriend. It's the same person.
That was... You're so funny.
I'm so funny. Okay. So Lauren invited Cody to meet her at school in Vanderhoof. Cody asked Lauren if she wanted any alcohol as she was only 15. Ding, ding, ding. He picked her up chocolate mudslides.
Mm.
That's a 15-year-old drink.
That is.
Right? So a witness did say he seen Lauren sitting on the swings at the school around 8:30 p.m. and seen a black pickup pull up and a man in shorts get out as they greeted one another. Cody was arrested for the murder of Lauren at 12:07 a.m. Cody changed his story once arrested, saying he found Lauren's body and he was scared and that's why he sped off. The police did a good cop, bad cop kind of dealio to try and get Cody to talk, which helped get him more comfortable. So Cody told the officers that he did have a serious girlfriend named Amy Volg. When comfortable, Cody told a different story. The story where he found the body, got scared, and sped off, which is kind of what he said before. But this time it's like, now he's kind of more involved because now that's why he sped off and all that stuff. So that's kind of where the story came from.
Okay.
One of the fellow officers thought the case was similar to another one he was working on and thought that Lauren Leslie was not the only victim of Cody, but the most recent victim.
Oh, no.
The decomposing body of Cynthia Mass had been found just weeks earlier. The way she had been found was strikingly similar to the way Lauren was found. The officers then went into the bad cop mode and decided to question Cody about Cynthia. Cody wouldn't budge and wouldn't give any answers right away. The next day, the officers thought that they would try good cop again, as it kind of worked the first time. He did say that he's seen the body and he left, so he did put himself there.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually brought up his girlfriend, Amy. After that, Cody told the officers that he did meet Lauren. He told them a long story about how him and Lauren had sex in his truck and drove around after. But then Lauren lost her mind and tried to kill herself in his truck by hitting herself in the head with a wrench and then stabbing herself in the neck with a knife.
Okay there, bud.
Yeah, it's a terrible story. Who's... Okay, like, hitting yourself in the head with a wrench, okay, like, if you were, like, upset or whatever, like that. But stabbing yourself in the neck with a knife?
I don't...
Excuse me, that's not gonna happen. So, he kept to the story of not knowing Cynthia, though, even though he was asked again. So the officers brought up inconsistency within Cody's story. Since Cody wasn't budging on not killing Lauren, the police decided to take a leap and allow Cody to see his girlfriend, Amy, in hopes they could get the truth out of him. Even with Amy there, he told her the same story he told the cops. He told Amy that he met Lauren online, they met up and had sex in his truck, and that he didn't kill anyone. The cops brought up the inconsistencies and that they also found drugs. Amy was suspicious, and Cody finally admitted that he hit Lauren with the wrench. But he didn't kill her. He just hit her with the wrench.
Why would he hit her with a wrench?
His story is so confusing. It changes 10,000 times. But it seems like he's, like, slowly, like, starting to, like, peek forward.
Yeah.
That he's, like, he actually did kill her. But, yeah, he says he hit her with the wrench, but he didn't know that he killed her.
Oh, fuck. I hate when that happens.
It happens all the time. Amy and Cody's relationship ended in that interrogation room when she left.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. You go, girl. 10 months after finding Lauren's body on October... Sorry. 10 months after finding Lauren's body in October 2011, the police announced that in addition to the murder of Lauren, Cody would be charged with 3 other counts of first-degree murder. The victims were 35-year-old Jen Stuchenko, mother of 6, last seen October 2009, 23-year-old Natasha Montgomery, mother of 2, last seen September 2010, and 35-year-old Cynthia Math, the mother of a little girl, last seen September 10, 2010.
Why is he picking on moms?
So let's talk about the victim. So Cynthia Mass's body was found in Prince George Park the 2 months before Cody had been arrested for the Leslie case. So she was a mother of a beautiful little girl. She was of First Nations heritage, and she was born with an unspecified disability. She was described as a caring person, but was addicted to drugs. Her addiction led her to the streets where she was a sex worker to fund her habit. Cynthia wanted more for herself and kept in contact with her family and also attended AA meetings from time to time. She was reported missing end of September when her family had not heard from her longer than normal. Cynthia died of blunt force trauma to the head. She had a hole in her shoulder blade, broken jaw, and cheekbone, as well as injury to her neck consistent with someone stomping on it.
Mm.
Cynthia's DNA was found on one of Cody's belongings. So the second victim was Natasha Montgomery, who was last seen the beginning of September, 3 months before Cody was arrested. Like Cynthia, Natasha also came from a First Nations family and was a mother of 2. She also struggled with a drug addiction. Before Natasha went missing, she was on the right track. She had just been released from prison after serving time for a drug charge. And she told her mother that she was excited to be out and was ready to make a change for the better. Her mother reported her missing after Natasha's daughter's birthday came and went, and no calls or visits came from Natasha. Her body has never been discovered. However, the police did find blood evidence from Natasha on one of Cody's personal items within his home. The first known victim was 35-year-old Jill 35-year-old Jill Stuchenko. I don't know how to say it. She was reported missing 10 months before the other murders had occurred. Jill was a mother of 4 boys and 2 girls who she cared beyond words about. She was described by family and friends as a warm, caring person who had a beautiful singing voice. She too had struggled with drugs and was working in the sex trade. Jill's body was found in a gravel pit covered in bruises. The DNA that was found on Jill's body matched Cody. They also traced blood DNA from Jill back to Cody's old basement apartment. So I think it's safe to assume that Cody met these 3 victims through drugs and sex work, as they did find crack pipes in his truck.
So weird that he started with, like, easy targets, I want to say, and then move to
Lauren,
who is grade 10 off of Nixopia.
Yeah. So Lauren's family did say they found a little comfort in knowing their daughter's death ended a career of a serial killer, and no other women would fall victim to this monster, as it is pretty clear that he probably wouldn't have stopped there given his pattern of murders in the last year leading up to Lauren's death
and him getting more confident.
Yeah. So it was also noted by many people that, how rare this case was, because most serial killers range between the age of 25 to 55. Occasionally, there is some in their 60s, but you rarely hear about serial killers in their teens or early 20s. So this case just kind of, like, rocked everything that people thought. Because they always thought that, like, okay, serial killers would be a little bit older, this type of person, and he was totally younger. Everyone popular, loved him. Yeah. He was really good in school, played sports. Like, yeah.
I wonder what his parents have to say about that.
Yeah. I should have researched more into I just don't love researching into the murderers. You know how I am.
Yeah.
I don't want to give them any more spotlight. So it was almost 4 years from when Cody was arrested to when his trial began. Cody pled not guilty to all four counts of murder. The judge and 12 jurors heard testimony from 93 Crown witnesses and even Cody himself. Cody spun a story during the trial that he was involved in three of the deaths, but claimed that he did not commit the killings. He alleged that a drug dealer and two accomplices, who he only named X, Y, and Z, were the actual murderers.
You're fucking kidding.
So he tells like this insane story. So needless to say, no one in the courtroom bought it. Cody was convicted on four counts of first-degree murder on September 11, 2014. He was then sentenced to life in prison with no parole for 25 years. On top of that, the Bracey Supreme Court added Cody to the National Sex Offender Registry. Supreme Court Justice Glenn Parrott said Cody lacks any shred of empathy or remorse. He also added he should never be allowed to walk among us ever again. And that's the story of one of Canadian's youngest serial killers, known as a country boy killer.
That is so fucked.
I know.
I'm so happy he went to jail, though.
I know, but I think the thing is like, I wonder if Jill was his first victim.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they didn't find the second one's body. They didn't find Natasha's body.
Give the parents some fucking closure. Mm-hmm. Give the family closure. Like, how could you not? I feel like...
Ugh. So I just wonder if, like, that was actually his first victim. It probably was. I mean, he was young, but...
Still.
And it's so scary, because, like, I was looking at photos of him, and he just looks like... literally every average guy I went to high school with. Blonde hair, hockey hair, tall, country boy, cowboy boots, Wranglers, like, just totally.
Was he hot?
He wasn't bad looking. Like, he's not a bad looking guy.
That is so fucked.
So that's the murder.
Thanks, Murderheads, for listening to another one of Murder, She Taped episodes. Liked what you heard? We need followers to know we don't just do this for our own entertainment. Toss us a follow at Murder, She Taped on Instagram and continue staying up to date with our MST podcast and the shenanigans of Nikki and Tay.
Have a story request? A local hometown crime you want to share? Send us an email at murdershetaped@gmail.com with details to the story for our review. Stay antisocial, Murderheads.